Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we're grabbing the definitive shortcut to, well, the biggest, most dominant entity in decentralized finance.
We have to be talking about Ove.
We are talking about a BIF, a platform that's basically the central bank of DeFi lending. I mean, it manages assets that would make some national treasuries pretty envious.
That's absolutely right. It's the undisputed market leader. We're talking about a protocol that, you know, has consistently held over $70 billion in total value locked.
$70 billion? That's what, 60% of the entire market share?
Roughly 60% of the entire decentralized lending market. So for those of you who are just starting out, or maybe you just prioritize stability, Ove is often cited as really the lowest risk entry point into DeFi.
And why is that? Is it just the size?
Well, it's the size, but it's also its rigorous auditing, its safety-first approach to everything, and just the sheer depth of its liquidity pools.
Got it. So our mission today is clear. We're going to unpack the architecture, specifically what EV3 was and, you know, why it needed a fundamental overhaul.
And then look ahead to the revolutionary V4 architecture, the famous hub-and-spoke model.
Exactly. And then we'll move from the theoretical to the practical. A clear step-by-step guide on how you can set up your first secure position and, crucially, avoid those common pitfalls like accidental liquidation.
Right. And before we even get into the architecture, it's important to know that Elvis has built two very separate front doors. You don't have to jump into the deep end immediately.
Okay, so tell us about these two paths the listener can choose from.
So path A is what we'd recommend for anyone focused purely on, say, capital preservation or simple yield. That's the official AVAP.
We've called this the DeFi mullet strategy before, right?
Exactly. It's that clean, familiar fintech interface in the front, but it's managing all that DeFi complexity for you in the back. And a massive benefit, which the sources really highlight, is that this path often comes with up to $1 million in insurance per account.
$1 million. Wow.
Yeah, protecting you against specific smart contract failures or exploits. I mean, that's a huge barrier reduction for new users.
That insurance layer is a huge differentiator. Okay, so path B is the full immersion experience, the AV3D app, the direct web interface.
Precisely. Path B is what you need if you want full protocol access.
Mm-hmm.
So that means using your crypto as collateral, setting up leverage borrowing positions, managing your own health factor.
It's hands-on, direct smart contract interaction, and of course, full responsibility for your own wallet.
You got it.
Okay, let's unpack V3. For years, the V3 monolithic pool model was the standard, but it had this key operational flaw that really held it back from scaling: fragmentation.
That is the perfect word for it. In V3, every asset you deposited went into one big pool.
Which was great for the user experience, right?
Oh yeah, it was super simple. You could deposit asset A and instantly borrow asset B, all because of that cross-collateralization inside that single pool.
But then AVE started expanding to other chains.
And that's where the fragmentation problem really hit. Every single deployment, whether it was on Ethereum mainnet, Arbitrum,
yeah,
Optimism, Polygon, it was a completely independent, isolated deployment.
They didn't talk to each other.
Not at all. So liquidity couldn't flow. This led to, you know, inconsistent interest rates across chains. And the cost to bootstrap a new network was immense. They had to start from zero every single time. It was slow and just not capital efficient.
Okay, and this is where it gets really interesting. The V4 hub and spoke revolution. This completely solves that fragmentation by unifying liquidity at the core. So tell us how the hub actually works.
The V4 architecture introduces the hub. And you can think of it as the ultimate vault. It's the central settlement layer.
So it consolidates all the liquidity from every chain.
All of it. And it manages the core accounting, the risk, the solvency. But, and this is crucial, it never interacts with you, the end user. It's the engine room.
And the spokes, those are the user-facing parts.
Yes. The spokes are modules. So each spoke is like a tailor-made lending market that interfaces directly with you, but they all pull liquidity from that one single hub.
Which lets them customize the risk parameters for each one.
Exactly. So you could have a standard spoke for your blue chip assets, maybe high-risk Yagen spoke for volatile tokens or meme coins, or even an RWA spoke specifically for institutional real-world assets.
Wait, if the hub consolidates everything, all the liquidity, all the solvency management, doesn't that create a single point of failure that V3's fragmentation, ironically, kind of helped avoid? How does AVE handle that centralized risk?
That's a highly critical question, and the design focuses on making the hub as minimalist and as secure as possible. It really only performs those core accounting functions.
The genius is in the risk isolation then.
The genius is in the risk isolation. In V3, you tried to isolate a risky asset within the big pool. In V4, risk is isolated at the spoke level.
So if the Deegan spoke has some catastrophic event,
that contagion can't directly impact the liquidity or solvency of the standard spoke or the RWA spoke. Their logic and their risk parameters are totally separate modules. They only share the capital pool.
That compartmentalization is smart. Okay, so if we connect this to the bigger picture, V4 is a massive leap in capital efficiency. The sources talk about this concept of 100% capital reuse. What does that mean in practice?
It means that every dollar you deposit into the hub is simultaneously supporting all the spokes. So in V3, if you deposited $10,000 on Arbitrum, that money could only be used for lending on Arbitrum.
Right, it was stuck there.
It was stuck. In V4, your $10,000 deposit can fulfill borrowing demand on the standard spoke, back institutional loans on the RWA spoke, and help with liquidity on a base network spoke all at the same time. It just maximizes the yield-generating potential of every single dollar.
And that speed of innovation you mentioned, adding a spoke, is way faster than migrating a whole V3 deployment, so they can adapt to new assets or regulations almost instantly.
Exactly. And let's not overlook one of the advanced user protection features built into V4, specifically soft liquidations.
Soft liquidations, that sounds a lot friendlier than what we're used to in DeFi.
It is. In most protocols, if your position drops below that health factor threshold, you get a hard liquidation. A huge chunk of your collateral is sold immediately, and you pay a massive penalty fee.
Sometimes 10% or more, right?
Easily. Soft liquidations are different. The system only liquidates the absolute minimum collateral needed, maybe just a fraction of a percent, to get your health factor back above the safe line. It drastically reduces those punitive losses and makes the whole system more resilient.
EVS dominance isn't just about its structure, it's also about its aggressive safety profile. Mm-hmm. It goes beyond smart contracts into automated real-time defenses.
This is so critical, especially when you think of the speed of crypto markets. The basic problems, a decentralized governance, you know, a DAO vote, it takes 3 to 5 days.
But markets move in seconds.
In seconds. EVS solved this using risk stewards.
These are firms like Chaos Labs that are running these specialized oracles to manage risk parameters on the fly, right?
Yes. They're essentially automated, highly secure market guardians. These risk stewards are constantly monitoring liquidity depth on major exchanges and analyzing on-chain volatility in real time.
Give us an example of how that would work.
Okay, so if an asset, let's say CRV, suddenly has a severe liquidity withdrawal on a big exchange, that suggests it could be vulnerable to manipulation. The risk steward's oracle sees this instantly.
And it doesn't wait for a DAO vote?
No waiting.
Mm-hmm.
It automatically adjusts the parameters. It'll lower the supply caps for CRV, increase the interest rate for borrowing it, and basically prevent bad actors from exploiting the protocol. It's proactive market speed protection.
And that ties directly into the umbrella safety module upgrade. This is all about ensuring solvency happens automatically without relying on slow human political processes.
Right. The old safety module required the DAO to vote to slash staked AAVE tokens if bad debt piled up. It was slow and political. The new upgrade changes the whole mechanic. It allows for automated slashing. The smart contracts see a deficit and immediately execute the slashing to restore solvency in minutes.
And it creates a better incentive structure through something called granular staking.
Exactly. Now, you can stake specific yield-bearing assets, like AUSDC, to ensure only specific markets. So it aligns your risk exposure.
Mm-hmm.
If you trust the USDC market, you stake there. And the system can then offer higher rewards for insuring markets that are seen as underinsured, creating this dynamic internal insurance market.
Shifting gears a little bit, let's talk financial strategy. This whole safety architecture, the V4 build-out, it needs a robust financial engine, which brings us to the famous Chainsaw Arc and GHO.
The Chainsaw Arc was, well, it was a masterclass in financial optimization by the DAO. AVA had deployed on over a dozen chains, and more than half of its L2 deployments were just deeply underperforming. High maintenance costs, very low use.
So the DAO literally took a chainsaw to the unprofitable parts of the business.
They did. They shut down those underperforming instances to consolidate liquidity and focus only on the high revenue chains, Ethereum, Mainnet, Arbitrum, and Base. The sources show this just drastically improved profitability.
Leading to what, like $130 million annualized revenue run rate?
Around that, yeah.
Yeah.
And that revenue is key for funding innovation and supporting their native stablecoin, GHO.
Right. GHO, which is a high stablecoin backed by collateral on the protocol. This leads us to the institutional landscape. A Hive is clearly positioning itself as the settlement layer for the tokenized economy through Alive Horizon.
Horizon is the permissioned RWA deployment real-world assets. This is where the big institutions are moving. And the mechanism is fascinating. Institutions are tokenizing assets like U.S. Treasuries. You see this with BlackRock's BUIDL. And then using these tokenized assets as collateral within the Horizon environment.
So institutions are borrowing stablecoins like USDC or GHO against tokenized sovereign debt right there on Arrive.
It's a hybrid model. Permission collateral meets permissionless borrowing. It positions Hive to capture that huge institutional repo market for tokenized assets. It's expected to be a massive growth driver.
Okay, now that we understand the architecture and the safeguards, let's get into the operational guide. If you are setting up your first position, the practical guide says the critical starting point is network selection.
Absolutely. For the learner, we really cannot stress this enough. Start on an L2 chain, Arbitrum or Base.
Why an L2 over Ethereum mainnet besides just the speed?
It's the cost. The gas costs are just fundamentally different. On mainnet, you could be looking at $20 to over $100 just to deposit and approve your assets.
Which can wipe out a whole year's yield on a small position.
Completely. On Arbitrum or Base, those same transactions will cost you between, say, 20 cents and a dollar. You get 99% of the security of mainnet with a tiny fraction of the cost. It's ideal for learning. Mainnet is really only for advanced users with huge positions where liquidity depth is the absolute priority.
Okay, let's walk through the absolute safest strategy. The supply-only position. You're just depositing funds to earn yield with zero liquidation risk.
This is the safest way to learn a bell, period. Step one, supply stablecoins, USDC, DAI, USDT. Their price fluctuation is minimal. Step two, and this is the critical step. Go to the asset dashboard and make sure that collateral toggle is switched to OFF.
So if the toggle is OFF, your asset is earning yield, but it can't be used as collateral for a loan. That eliminates all liquidation risk.
All of it, to put numbers to it. If you supply 10,000 USDC on Arbitrum with that toggle safely off and it's earning, say, 5% APY, you earn about $500 over a year. Your total cost for the two transactions, deposit and withdrawal, might be 50 cents. It's incredibly efficient and safe.
Now let's assume the learner is ready to take the next step and explore borrowing positions, using ETH as collateral to borrow stablecoins, for instance. What are the non-negotiables here?
Two things. One, use blue chip collateral only, ETH or WBTC. And two, your health factor, that metric showing how close you are to liquidation, must be managed aggressively. We recommend maintaining a health factor above 2.0.
Why 2.0? The system only liquidates you when you hit 1.0.
Because if your health factor is down near, say, 1.5, you're basically driving on bald tires in the rain. That buffer up to 2.0 is your emergency lane. It protects you from sudden collateral price drops and from unexpected spikes in borrowing interest rates, which can silently eat away at your health factor. You have to monitor that position daily.
Let's end the operational guide by talking about the advanced modes that beginners really must avoid. First up, isolation mode.
Isolation mode restricts what you can borrow and what other collateral you can use. It's designed to safely list volatile or niche assets. The danger for a beginner is this. If you use a volatile token in isolation mode and that token crashes, you are prohibited from using your stable blue chip assets like ETH to quickly save your position.
So your only options are to repay the debt or deposit more of the collapsing asset. That just concentrates the risk.
Exactly, which is the opposite of what you want to do. The other mode to be extremely cautious with is E mode, or high efficiency mode.
E mode allows for some staggering leverage, up to 97% loan to value, right?
Yes, but only for highly correlated assets, like pairing USDC and USDT. And what's fascinating is that E mode makes you totally vulnerable to correlation breakdown. You are betting that two stablecoins will always stay at parity.
And we saw that risk play out in March 2023 when USDC briefly depegged.
We did. A position leveraged at 97% LTV can be instantly wiped out by a tiny depeg event. It's very high risk. Requires absolute mastery of correlation risk. Avoid it.
Okay, let's consolidate the key takeaways for you. Hive is still the dominant safety-focused foundation of DeFi lending. V4's hub and spoke model is set to ensure future efficiency and innovation by unifying liquidity and allowing that 100% capital reuse.
Operationally, start cheap and safe on an L2 like Arbitrum or Base. For yield, toggle that collateral OFF to guarantee zero liquidation risk.
And if you do borrow, treat a health factor of 2.0 as your absolute minimum target.
And remember that lesson of optimization. Even with a Maeve safety and dominance, DeFi is not set it and forget it. You have to monitor your yield. The sources remind us you should frequently compare UMS rates against aggregators or protocols like Morpho to see if shifting your liquidity makes sense.
So what does this all mean for the future of decentralized governance? The integration of risk stewards and V4's dynamic risk configuration means crucial market speed decisions, like adjusting LTVs during a volatility spike, can now be made automatically, instantly.
Right.
So if technology can make risk management automatic and instantaneous, how will the role of human, political, and decentralized governance evolve when it has to deal with the next big market shock? That's something for you to consider as you navigate this powerful platform.
Always stay vigilant and always be learning.
Until next time, we'll see you for the next deep dive.